Bob, it was not only good to hear the choir, but to see that you were able to direct it again after your recent surgery. So we're glad for this blessing that we have received. Consider these words of Jesus from the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us pray. Open to us, Holy Father, not only the words of Scripture, but the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that what is said will bring glory and honor to your name, help, strength, and encouragement to your people. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It was a long time ago, but I still remember when it came. It was an invitation that came in the mail. There was just a 3-cent stamp there. Some of you remember that. I could hear, is it Wayne or Wade? I could hear him mumble. I think he remembers that. I'll bet he even remembers 1-cent postcards, don't you? Yeah. Well, it came in the mail, and it was addressed to Master Blake Wagner. Now, that's a term I used until I got married, and then Jerry didn't want me to use the term master. But I was probably about 6 years old when it came. So that means that it would be, gosh, that'd be 30, 40 years ago. No. Actually, it was probably closer to 80 years ago when that came. And it was from a little redheaded boy named Marvin Hansen. And he lived just a few houses down from us there in Akron, Kenmore District. And he was having a 4th or a 5th birthday party. I don't remember which. And it was the first birthday party I was ever invited to, because those were the days of the Great Depression. Now, was it Nancy Pelosi said that she didn't know why they called it great, because she didn't think it was very good. It wasn't called great because it was wonderful. It was called great because it was such a lasting, powerful, terrible time in which literally millions of Americans and people all around the world suffered terrible poverty as a result of the economic condition of the entire world. And so children didn't have birthday parties. Now my grandkids, I think every year they told Mom and Dad that they wanted a birthday party. And we just were at our great-grandson's birthday party and Wheaton, Illinois here a few weeks ago, and my goodness, I remember when Queen Elizabeth was coronated. That's what birthday parties are like today, but it was really something to get an invitation with a 3-cent stamp addressed to your name with the word master in front of it. Can you imagine that? And I was invited to go. And what a treat that was. Now, his grandpa, Abel, who lived at his cute little house there at the end of our street, a Dutch colonial. He was the streetcar conductor. You can see how much status he had. Some of you don't know what a conductor is on a streetcar. He was the person who drove the streetcar, and it would stop right there at the corner of our street, just a few doors from our house. So I remember that party vividly. I remember some of the things that we did. I know that we had ice cream and cake. And in those days, if you had anything more than some meat and potatoes and some vegetables, you really had a feast. So it wasn't too usual that you had cake and ice cream. And it was just wonderful. We played a game that I was quite skillful at. It's called Pin the Tail on the Donkey. Have any of you ever tried that game? I was very good at it. But anyway, that was an invitation that obviously I have never forgotten, even though it's been 80 years ago. Well, we live in a world today that has other troubles, other difficulties. We live under the threat of nuclear war, the thought of which is so horrible that we can hardly imagine such a possibility or such potential ever happening. One of my real good friends at the Optimist Club is one of the coroner assistants. He has done that work for several years. He's used to and conditioned to dealing with human tragedies, going and seeing families at devastating moments. But he told me just a few weeks ago that it's no longer the job that he used to have. He says 2, 3, 4 times a week he finds himself going into tragic situations in which folks have lost young daughters and young sons, usually from overdoses, sometimes from suicide or terrible traffic accidents. But he said it has become such a regular thing that it's become a devastating experience to him. He said, "It's getting to me, and I've been a professional coroner assistant for several years, and I never had this problem before." Well, you too probably have issues that trouble you. We have issues concerning how are we going to be able to provide for our retirement, or are we going to be able to take care of the medical costs that we face, or how are we going to pay for the expenses of children and when they go to college. There are just all kinds of issues and troubles. And then there's this terrible anger that's so prevalent in our country and in our nation, so divisive and so unnecessary and so un-American in its essence. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you that there's still another invitation that we have in the midst of all of these troubled times in which we live. Grant Milliron is a very good friend of mine for many years. And when President Bush was running for a second time, he met the president because he was part of the program when he spoke at the Renaissance. A few weeks later, the president gave one of his presidential debates, and in that presidential debate, we were absolutely astounded when he said, "I was in Mansfield, Ohio recently, and I was talking to Grant Milliron." Well, I was amazed, and when the program was over, I called Grant, and I said, "Grant, were you listening to the president's debate?" He said, "Yes." And he said he was amazed that he was quoted. And I said, "Grant, did you record that speech?" And he said, "No." Well, you see, I always record things and then I skip the commercials when I play it back. And so I had it recorded. I said, well, you know, Grant, I recorded that. Is there any chance you might want a copy of that? Well, he thought it over for a long time. No, he didn't. He said, yes, I'd love to have it. But the amazing thing was not that experience, but a few weeks later, Grant told me, he said, Blake, can you believe it? He said, President Bush has invited Mary and myself to come to the White House for one of the inaugural parties that was being held. And so Grant had that opportunity of accepting that invitation. And he was so happy and so proud. Because Grant, you know, wasn't always wealthy. He knew something about economic hardship as a little boy. Well, this leads me to the question, what is the great invitation that we have? Is it to Marvin Hansen's birthday party? That's a long time ago. Is it to the White House for an inaugural party? No, but that's quite an honor. The great invitation that we have has our name on it and comes from our Lord Jesus. He said, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. William Barclay says that when he said, my yoke is easy, he meant to say, my yoke fits well. When you're responsive to the great invitation and you become part of this movement that we know as the followers of Jesus, his yoke fits well. We have the strength, the encouragement, and hope that we need. The Master is reminding us that we are never defeated. After World War II, Sir Winston Churchill, the great Prime Minister, whose almost single faith caused Great Britain to hold out against the terrible terror of the Second World War, the bombings of the Hinkle bombers, of the Luftwaffe, and it was a terrible, terrible time. So he was invited to speak at one of the great universities. Maybe it was Oxford, but I'm not sure which university. And he was asked to give a feature address at that school. When the time for his speech began, he tottered, for he was an old man, like somebody else I know. And he went to the podium and he said, never, 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 ever give up. And he sat down, for he had said everything he wanted the students of that university to know and to remember. Our Lord challenged us, amidst all of the trials and discouragements and all of the things that we find difficult in our lives, to simply place our confidence, our trust, our ultimate hope in Him. Pastor recently shared with me that in a service in a church that ordinarily is not free to do the kinds of evangelical things that many of us feel comfortable with, he asked his people how many would be willing to raise their hand to say that they are struggling with concerns that are difficult. In other words, how many of you are carrying great burdens? He said that he was amazed in that congregation that almost every hand went up. But Jesus, the Master, promised, "I will give you rest." Well, as a little boy in Kenmore, I still remember a little redheaded boy named Marvin who licked a 3-cent stamp, put it on an envelope, and sent an invitation to a birthday party. Doesn't sound like much, but it meant a lot. And that invitation is trivialized beside the invitation that we have to take the burdens, the disappointments, the difficulties, the health problems, all of these situations, family difficulties, questions about our employment. Take all of these things that worry us and put them at the feet of the cross. I remember my professor, Thomas S. Kepler, New Testament at Oberlin Graduate School of Theology. I remember one of the powerful stories that he told us and that he has in several of his many, many books that he wrote. He told about an outstanding Christian gentleman who faced all kinds of difficulties and trials and all kinds of situations that were almost impossible. And his friend said to him, "Haven't you ever considered just forgetting this discipleship thing? Of just forgetting Jesus and going on with your life and not having this kind of faith?" And he paused and he answered with these simple words. He said, "Oh, yes, I've considered quitting. I've pondered that. But there is always that strange man hanging on his cross. And he calls me back again and again and again." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you, burden, heavy laden, taking your yoke upon us, knowing that your burden is light. And we pray that you would help every man, woman, boy, and girl in this very specific moment to say yes to Him. For we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we'll have the opportunity to share at the table of our Lord Jesus, a table that he has called us to be his guest. It's a table in which we remember his suffering, his death, and above all, his resurrection. And so we come to that table and we take the bread and we bless it. We take the cup and we hold it up as the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we accept him into our hearts, souls, and minds. Holy Father, accept the confession of faith that we make in the presence of these wonderful sacramental gifts that you have given us. We dedicate ourselves to Jesus. We trust in him. We accept his mercy on the cross, and we shout the victory of his triumph over death. In his holy name, amen.